financial year 14-15, and it's just that the interest was paid in the previous financial year. And currently, as I'm saying, our payment days are for SMMEs are less than 7 days, and on average, we're paying for 21 days, payment days. So I'm going to again look at maybe the financial outlook. We are fairly healthy as the council in the short term, but as I've already mentioned, the challenge lies with the long-term planning. When you don't have guaranteed funding, there's no way you can strike that you can sign on long-term contracts with employees, and that is our engine. We have, however, requested investment of about 108 billion into our operations, so that we can fund this in the long term, at least for the next 10 years. That is my story. Thanks.
Thank you, CFO. Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, I'll take you through the human capital issues in the company, in the organisation. We continue as an organisation to transform and with the necessary skills that we require as a business, and also to expose interns into our world of work to equip them with skills as well, and offer bursaries to external students in order to ensure that we have a pipeline of skills in the future that we may need as an organization. And if we move to slide number 51, it gives an overall profile of our racial profile in the organization. Chairperson, we must indicate that we have to obviously address the issues of colors and Indians to get them into the organization. We are very cognizant of that. We are rolling out the structure. And as we do that, we are going to be prioritizing positions to focus on those groups. And on slide 52, it basically gives a profile of our gender. It's very obvious that we are, as an organization, trying to focus to improve and empower our female in the organization. So we have been doing quite well there. And over the years, if we look at slide 53, it actually gives our growth in terms of our racial profile over the years. We have been improving steadily over the years. Slide 52 speaks to our gender profile. Over the years as well, there's a great improvement. In terms of our bursaries, Chairperson and members, we have we are trying to actually focus to get our Africans, colors, Indians, and whites into the bursary program. We're using this as a feeder pipeline, obviously, for skills into the future into the organization as well. We have to obviously address colors, Indians, to get more of them into the bursary program. We are addressing that. And the demographic composition of bursaries by gender is on slide 56. Over the years, we have been improving there, as you can see. And the number of bursaries that you've been taking on over the years as well, we have increased that intake over the years. I'm trying to rush so that I'm mindful of the time. And on our internship program, page slide 58 as well, there's a slight decline in 2017, but we are collaborating with MQA in terms of intakes there, so that figure may actually change in the months to come. And the next slide, Chairperson and members, it's our public awareness programs as well as our CSI initiatives. I won't go into that. Thank you very much.
Okay. I was not wrong. That Msuzu. Hey, man, gosh. Gosh. Let's go for lunch. Umasibuya baba umsiza. Sizothatha wena ngo 25 to 2. Mase siqeda ke nalaba abakhalayo. Mase siqeda siqala ngawe ukubuza imibuzo. Ya, ukwenza ukuthi laba badonsa isikhathi sizobuyela kubona isikhathi sabo abasidonsile. Let's take lunch quickly, only for 30 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Chichi, chichi.
Yeah.
And I have my secretary of the committee.
Siyabona nje umsizi efika yo actor ke Mintech usethengire izo. Usethengire izo. Ngabonakala ukuthi naye ufuna ukuba ngupresident. President CEO. Qhubeka apho bazagcine khona abanye. Let's welcome. Thank you ngokusuka ngale bakomsizi. I was worried ukuthi if no honorable Mandela and you are sitting in front of him, then it will be for the first time in this committee we get an order, because you won't be able to be seen behind you. So at least I can see the proximity to the soil now, to the ground, is going to help him. I gave you, now let me confess, I gave you the last, to be the last, because I want to show them an example. If I had made you to speak first, they may, we may not have known. So that it's up to you then to prove me right, to prove me wrong. The floor is yours.
Honorable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, chairpersons of boards of the entities of the Department of Mineral Resources, Director General and officials of the department, ladies and gentlemen, I'm the Deputy Chairperson of Mintech Board. My name, Marwale Jacob Rachidi. I'm here today representing the board of Mintech. In the first instance, I wish to apologize on behalf of the chairperson of Mintech, who has not been able to make this meeting. To the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, it gives me pleasure to have accepted your invitation to share our annual integrated report with the committee. We will continue to be your partner in unlocking mineral wealth. Honorable Chairperson, we wish to invite you together with your committee to observe our global leadership in minerals and methodological innovation as we provide international research and development expertise, test work and process optimization for all mineral sectors at home and abroad. All this we will do, we must do, and we are doing irrespective of the severely constrained environment which manipulated our efforts to show a fair amount of resilience with a modest surplus at the end of the financial year. The team responsible of delivering our key performance areas and indicators is here with me today. It comprises of the following. The acting CEO, Mr. David Nsiza. The Finance General Manager, Mr. Sakisi Milani. The Technology General Manager, Mr. Alan McKenzie. Research and Development General Manager, Dr. Makapa Makafula. And the fly in the ointment, our Corporate Services General Manager, Ms. Gugunyanda. Honorable Chairperson, kindly allow me to hand over the proceedings of this occasion to Mr. Msiza, who will lead the presentation, which will depict how Mintech carried out its mandate using public resources and the income generated through commercial activities. Over to you, Mr. Msiza.
Thank you, honorable members, honorable chairperson, our deputy chairperson, the chairpersons of the other entities as well, our colleagues, and also the from the department under the leadership of the CFO. I'd like to say good afternoon, colleagues and honorable members. We'll be taking you through, obviously, the presentation on our annual report. However, it's important for me to highlight the fact that we've been taking through the performance information at a high level by Dr. Nicole on how we have performed as an entity, including the other entities, including on the issues of governance by the AG. We will not specifically look at the issues of the outputs, but we will be looking at the how to strive to make an impact with our programs, honorable members. In terms of our presentation outline, we'll be inward looking in terms of the overview. We're looking at the vision, mission, and how do we play the role in terms of the government imperatives and the work that we are doing internally to improve on our staffing. Well, also what we'll do, we'll look at the environmental scan. It's important for us to do that as an entity, especially globally, because it does affect our programs, as our Deputy Chairperson has clearly indicated. And the others will also touch on, including human capital and sustainable development, financial performance, and the technical work, and then we'll conclude. In terms of our vision and mission, honorable members, we had to ensure that we align our vision to the DMR vision, in that we also strive to be a global leader in the work that we are doing, mainly in the mineral and mineral processing and also value adding, our value addition. I think for us that's the most important issue that we are focusing on. In terms of the mission, through our mandate, we strive to serve our stakeholders, mainly locally and also abroad, through the technology that we produce and the research work and human development that we are looking at. We have ensured that there's alignment in terms of our strategic plan or in terms of our programs to the government imperatives, mainly the NDP, and also the 9-point plan. And in our space, as Ed indicated, it's important that we improve the extraction efficiency to extract our resources. I think it's very, very important that we do that. And also in terms of energy and water efficiency, His Worship actually spoke and emphasized the importance of us finding other water resources and preserving the water resources that we have. So we'll be demonstrating on the work that we are doing at MINTEC to play in that space, honorable members. And also beneficiation is very, very important that we play that. My colleagues earlier on from the trader and regulator also touched on the work that they are doing in this space. We collaborate with them and other entities in this space as well. We also look at mining, industrial, and consumer waste treatment, small-scale and artisanal mining. We think that is, especially with our communities, those of the poorest of the poor, there is work, especially with the minerals, that they can produce through exploiting those minerals. And we'll look at the extraction technologies for precious-based ferrous and energy minerals. As I indicated, honorable members, I think it's very important that we also touch on the environmental scan. We just have a global view. What we do, we look at almost 10 years before and look at how the mining sector has been performing. Mainly, as indicated on the slide, the blue line indicates the metal prices. The red lines indicate the pipeline activity. In other words, the pipeline activities are exploration activities, are mining, especially greenfield projects that the mining companies are investing in. And the gray bars indicate the the market capitalization of the mining industry, not only in South Africa, but also globally. From 2008, we show them in four quarters to 2006. The essence of this slide, it shows the cyclical nature of mining. I think it's important that we emphasize that mining is a cyclical industry, and it's very important that when we do our planning, we plan considering that. You can clearly see towards the middle of 2008, there was a recession, and it had a significant impact on the commodity prices, including the metal prices themselves, and it has affected the market capitalization and also the pipeline activities index. You can clearly see that in the middle of 2008, the market cap globally in mining was about $2 trillion, and it came down to just to about $600 billion. And however, which is what is important is that there has been an improvement from 2009 in terms of those activities and also the market capitalization as well as the metal prices. But from 2011 onwards as well, there has been an extended lull in mining because of other geopolitical activities that has affected the mining space as well. And these has also affected the activities of our entity, MinTech, and we'll also show how we do that. But what is also encouraging is that from the third quarter of 2016, we have seen some improvement in terms of the commodity prices as well. And we think for 2017, moving forward, there will be some positive work that is coming across. But before I leave this slide, I think it's also important, honorable members and colleagues, that we don't only look. We have a rear mirror look on what has happened, but we are forward-looking, especially us as MinTech. Most of the metals that have been affected by the global economic situation has been mainly the PGMs, and there's indications that 90% of our mineral resources are around or more is on the PGMs. So it's very important that we work together with other entities, including CGS, of forward planning. In other words, we have a 50-year planning cycle on what work can we do to make sure that our mineral resources continue to be relevant based on the challenges that might emanate. Now, the global economic situation obviously has affected the major mining companies. They've because of the pressures that they had based on those activities, they've not been investing, including here in South Africa. And also the junior mining companies, they have been heavily affected, especially those who are doing exploration. They've been heavily affected by the situation. But we are also saying in the slide that it's very important that with the junior mining companies, that governments should play a significant role to make it easy for the junior miners to operate. One of the issues that the junior miners have been dealing with, for instance, is the compliance to the NEMA legislation on environment as well. For them, it has been costly, and it has stopped some projects from moving from prospecting right to the mining right space. So I think it's very important for us to look at that to increase the mining activity in our country. What did this mean for MinTech? Although there was less service work from the mining companies and the design houses in terms of new capital projects, as I indicated, we mainly focus on efficiency of the processing plants because you are aware that some of the mining companies have been retrenching workers because some of the operations have not been profitable. In fact, some of them, they've been offloading and selling. And we believe that if we assist the mining sector as well, to make their processing plants more efficient, the more profitable and viable the projects become. So as MINTEC, we have played a significant role in this regard and will continue playing that particular role. But we are also grateful on the state funding that we've been receiving. It has helped us in our research work, starting from the work that we are doing in terms of mineral extraction on concentration, extraction for refining, and also value add and beneficiation as well. So it has helped us in doing some work there. And I've also indicated, so last point on that slide, that because of the changing trends globally in mining, we are now starting to receive significant proposals from the sector, not only here, but in Africa and also in other parts of the world as well. I think it will help us in terms of the revenue generation. On human capital, honorable members, we've also intentionally included this slide. The main objective is really to say that we also monitor whether we comply in terms of the demographics, in terms of our female and male workers, and also the other races that I'll also touch on, from top management to the unskilled labor level. Overall, the entity employed 646 people, and 40% of the workforce are female, but we strive to do better than that. We are looking ultimately to surpass the 50% level, or to at least get to that particular level as well. But you can clearly see that in terms of the skilled, technical, academically qualified junior management and supervisors, we've put a lot of effort to make sure that there's women there. But there's still some effort that we have to put in the senior management and top management level as well. There are programs that we are currently implementing, including skills development programs. And also, when we have vacancies, we make sure that we prioritize the filling of those posts by our female colleagues. And I've also touched on this particular issue in terms of equity, indicating that on top management, we are not where we should be, and senior management in terms of the targets. Our target is 71% and 77% respectively, but we are a bit short there. However, with the other levels as well, we can clearly see that we have been achieving the targets that we have set ourselves. As an entity that is doing work in the mining space and mineral processing space, it's important that we also measure client satisfaction. In fact, we ensure that the work that we do, especially on HR, on research and development, there's more collaboration, because in that way we are able to measure whether our clients are satisfied with the research that we are doing. We've set our target of 90%, that we should be achieving a target of 90% client satisfaction frequency rate, and currently we are trending at 97% overall for the fiscal period. We are also looking at check issues or health and safety and quality-related matters as well. We measure the lost time injury frequency rate. We've set a target of 1, and from November last year, we've been touch wood, trending at 0.0%, as indicated on the slide. We put a strong focus on environmental awareness as well. We measure our water consumption at the entity. For the past 3 fiscal period, you can clearly see that there's been a significant reduction in the amount of water that has been used by the entity from 2015 to 2017. I think that also helps us in terms of the issues of cost, of managing the cost challenges that we might be having. On the right-hand side, we also monitor waste recycled at the entity, working together with the company that collects our waste. They measure the waste that we produce and we produce at the entity. We also look at the carbon emissions, and the simplest way on how we do this, we look at the amount of electricity that has been used by the entity. Now, there's been a significant reduction since 2012 on the electricity use and obviously the carbon emissions at the entity, as you can clearly see on the bottom graph there. In terms of how we make our programs count and make a difference in our people's lives, we have a small-scale mining program where we work together with communities in rural areas. And we've been helping communities in Gauteng, Mpumalanga, and Northern Cape during the fiscal period. And we've been training them in terms of small-scale mining and also beneficiation and making pottery. We're using clay and their respective minerals which are there in their areas. It's not only in these three provinces. We've been doing their work in other provinces as well, including Eastern Cape, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga, and also as well as Northwest. We have, working together with the respective municipalities, established 5 companies from those communities and to make sure that they get sustained. In fact, we do measure whether those companies are sustained every year. It's one of the key areas that we are measuring. For last year alone, there were 41 jobs that have been created through that initiative. We've also trained 312 learners in small-scale mining in Mpumalanga, including geo retreat design, manufacturing, working together with the Mining Qualification Authority, the MQA, and also gemstone cutting, polishing. But not only in Mpumalanga, we've been working with our counterparts from Mali and Malawi and helping them in terms of this training. And we make sure that we strive not to train for the streets, so to speak. Most of the 312 learners that have been trained by MinTech, there have been job opportunities created for them. Some of them have started some small operations to take opportunity of the training that they receive from us. And also we're working together with Royal Bafokeng community in the Northwest. We've assisted them with 2 processes and technologies to produce aggregates. We've also provided them with equipment to make tiles. And we believe that will sustain their livelihood under the current conditions. And we also, I think it's important, given the high unemployment rate with our youth, that we play a significant role in terms of training the youth. In the 2016-17 period, we've taken 108 youth on the job training. These are basically scientists and engineers, which are still learning, but we are taking them through some experience working at within the entity, the entity itself. And 51% of the youth have been are women that we have trained, and also there's 36 youth who are currently studying, who were placed at 12 foundries, in other words, outside MinTech, to further their studies and gain experience at the foundries and still engineering firms during this period. But we strive that after they finish their work, they get absorbed or employed by those entities. If not, we see our way we can help them within the entity. And lastly, we also promote the interest in science, technology, engineering, mathematics, and innovation, because it is clear that our youth, we are not interested in that field, though. So there is work that we've been doing in that field as MinTech. For the reporting period, we've trained more than 1,000 youth in terms of MinQuiz, and also just demonstrating the work that we do as an entity, so that they must have interest and probably once they finalize grade 11 and 12, they can also come through and work and study and work at the entity, some of them. And internally, the total of 24 bursaries that we've issued to undergraduate and postgraduate students, and 100% of those will be absorbed once they finish there in the entity itself. Now, the breakdown of those 24, as you can clearly see, that mainly were African, Indian, and colored on the left-hand side in gray, and 71% of those were female, as indicated on the slide as well. And we believe that this will also help in terms of our equity challenge. It's one of the plans that we put in place to improve on our equity levels. We work together with the National Aligned Movement, where we also provide training on mineral processing. We've trained 11 participants from 12 countries, mainly Botswana, Egypt, Eritrea, India, Malaysia, Nigeria, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Sri Lanka, Sudan, Uganda, and some of the trainees are from South Africa. We also look at corporate social responsibility. We participated in Nelson Mandela Day during the reporting period. We were with the children of Ungani Community Development Center. We've donated in Soweto, we've donated clothing, toys, and bed linen. We also provided school shoes for learners from Baugushe Primary School in Mpumalanga. And we participate on the science and research field by providing funding, especially for lecturers on the mining, metallurgy, and chemical engineering engineering studies as well. So we do contribute some funding there to support the program. We also we work in support of the National Council for Persons with Disabilities. MINTEC employees have collected about 5,000 towards the cause through ticket sales. That is the work that has been happened internally. And also we support the Cancer Association of South Africa. We've collected about 42,000 or 43,000 in a event that was held in March this year. In terms of financial performance, I'll request Mr. Smelane to take us through that. We'll later on conclude.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, colleagues. I will quickly run through the finances of MINTEC. What you see in the slide, in the first slide, is a comparison of our total revenue. In this slide, I just want to emphasize 3 points. Our total revenue last year, in the last 2 years before the reporting period, we've seen it going through the 500 mark. But in the reporting period, we've seen it going down just because of the commercial activities that have gone down. And again, because of our MTF cycle, the revenue or the funding that we used to get from MTF was ending in the reporting period. Going forward, we are hoping that we'll see our revenues increase maybe starting from the 2018. In this financial year, if we compare to year to date, I don't think we'll still be similar to what we're seeing in 2016-17. But the point also I want to mention in this slide is that I think when you look at the next 2 or 3 years, it's quite important for this institution to have certainty on the funding, especially on the state grant funding, because the commercial revenue is not predictable. So we're hoping that as long as we have funding, consistency of funding in the next 3 years, we're able to plan well the research projects that we have to undertake, considering that research work doesn't take 1 year. It takes at least 2 years, 3 years. So we do need that type of certainty going forward. And the last point in this slide is that, yes, we didn't make we didn't make, when you compare the budget versus actual, we didn't make it. Especially the biggest effect was mainly on the commercial revenue, which when you compare strictly, we're down by at least 10% on that. And the next slide, Chairperson talks to our audit opinion. It's self-explanatory. We have seen an unqualified report for some time, and we're hoping that we can maintain that going forward. And the next slide just summarizes the findings up until 2012. These are all findings, major findings, significant findings, as well as minor findings. So what is so significant about this slide is that in 2017, in the reporting period, for the first time, the auditors couldn't find a finding on finances. So the finding that we have is were mainly on the IT audits, which were mainly on security passwords, and maybe that we have resolved that. We also, for the third time. We have not received any finding on performance information, which we hopefully that will keep, will maintain that status. And the next slide talks to our financial position in Mintec. Just in summary, our financial position is steady at the moment. If you look at our asset base, it has improved last year. If you look at our cash, it's lower than last year because we're to expend it on a number of issues, and as well as because of the commercial activities. And so, going forward, looking at the number of projects that are planned, we might just be having, we have to be careful on our cash flows so that we maintain the status quo. The liquidity is fine. The next slide talks to your Mintec net worth. That's current asset versus current liabilities. In simple terms, we're still okay. When what the slide just summarizes that we're still okay. Where we might just need to improve, we might just need to get it right, is our improvement on being able to do more work on the deferred income. We have, it looks like an increase, but it's also the fact that when the industry is constrained, we also don't want to do work before we receive the money. So it that's the reason why it looks like that. Our next slide talks to our capital expenditure. In summary, in last year we did expend about 55 million on capital assets, and we're hoping that next year it will be still in this around the same rate, around 40 million on capital assets. We do normally strive to get other funding to fund those type of capital assets. The next slide actually talks to your revenue split in the different categories. What is more significant about that slide, if you press the button, the next button, is that 33% of that is commercial activities, 59% is state grant activities, while the other 8% talks to income. I think we feel that ratio is okay, and if we can just maintain that ratio going forward, that should be okay for us. If you look at the revenue distribution, that's a revenue distribution in terms of countries. It's actually where and what. In most of these countries, people will ask, what are we really doing in those? Most of them are actually using our technology. We get mostly the technology fee. Others is licensing. And it is distributed between all those countries. And there is work that we do in the previous year. We've seen a lot of work on pre-feasibility studies, pilot test work within South Africa and in other countries, as depicted on that slide. This slide actually looks at where do we spend the little government funding that we get. and in which commodities are we still doing the work. Most of those in those different categories is the commodities that the amount that we spend researching on precious metal, for instance. If you look at the slide, is the highest where we have is eco-efficient projects. And those projects are mostly those which are at developmental phase, which is your MTF. They are not normally comparable to the others which are still at fundamental research stage. That one, those ones where we increase, where it's higher, it's more when we have to take it from the step of fundamental research to development. So that if you press the next button, it does show that what type of projects, what type of areas. If you look at your precious metal, for instance, what are we doing on what type of work has been done on fundamental research, the UG2, the blood reef and waste streams. It's the type of research that we're undertaking which might just mature in the next, in the near future. And if you look at the others, the projects that I've put in, though, in those slides are those which some of them you will see as we talk to the technical issues. The next slide actually talks to our expenditure. This is a breakdown. The numbers are there on the annual report. It's a breakdown. Important to note that we still have about 59% of our expenditure goes to salaries, and we're still spending around 12 million on bursaries, and then the rest becomes operating expenditure. My last slide on finances talk to the profitability of Mintel. We're not a profit-making institution, but that indicator to us is very important to make sure that we don't subsidize the commercial activity with the research money that we get. That's why that green light that talks to the profitability, to the net results over the years is quite important to maintain that balance. Even though that we're not profiting on science work, on the state grant, but the commercial activities must always make a surplus for that matter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. But I think the concluding slides are quickly, honorable members, will be mainly on the innovative work that we've been doing on research and development. As I indicated earlier, it's very important that we be more innovative and come up with other uses for our minerals, given the challenges that we're having in terms of commodity prices and the demand cycle of things. We've in terms of mineral beneficiation, we've also looked at other uses of our of mainly platinum and gold, besides jewelry and also the industrial use of the two minerals. Mainly platinum is being used as on jewelry and also for auto cast as also. But we, through the programs that we are running, we look at other use. For instance, the first one there, we are working together with Impala Platinum on the converting chemical energy into electrical energy as well, using platinum. So there is some progressive work that we are doing there. I think if there will be a takeoff there, there will be huge. There will be a demand for our platinum in that area. Also with gold, gold is not only used for the jewelry. There's other uses for gold that one can consider. In this case, we use it for health and safety. We take advantage of the characteristics of gold to reduce the carbon monoxide intake of especially people who are doing firefighting. We came up with a catalyst that can be put on a respirator to prevent exposure to a significant CO or carbon monoxide as well. So I think it's a progressive project that we're looking at to consider other mineral uses. Also, in terms of mineral beneficiation, we use the nanotechnology, especially at atomic and molecular level, to assist with water treatment. We have touched on the challenges that we are facing on water treatment and the quality condition of the water in South Africa, especially in the mining area. We've been working with one of the gold mines, Sibanye, in this particular issue by using a membrane to assess its effectiveness in cleaning the water. And also we've received some funding from the International Research Council to assist with water treatment in Diepsloot and also in Zambia. So there is a project at a value of about 1.4 million rand where we are working together with it. It's called the Lira project. And also in terms further on beneficiation, we have produced, in terms of the research work that we have done, some diagnostic kits that could be used for testing on HIV, TB, and malaria, both mainly on the human side and also on the animal side, because some of the diseases that the animals could have could affect the workers. So we are working together with the respective entities, including a PE company. I think we strive to also improve on transformation in the technical side as well. And also we've been doing some work with the CSIR in the animal and both and human diseases as well. Mr. Smelana touched on our presence globally as well. It's important that we also highlight where we are in fact all over the continents where we are operating, and we are working together with those companies, Tarisa, Sedibelo, Samanco, Northern Sibanye, and local as well as Mirafe. I think it's very important, not only for MinTech, but for South Africa, because the technology that is being produced by South African government entity is being used throughout the world. I think it's very key for us. And also we improve on the efficiency of recovering chrome. You'll actually see if you go if you move along the what we call the Bushveld complex, now and again there'll be dams, huge dams, or some of those dams have chrome and partly also have platinum. So we are also assisting, especially in the Limpopo area, on improving the efficiency of recovering chrome from one particular mine there. So there's a project that we've been working together with one specific mine, and we believe that a small improvement in the recovery can result in tens of millions of rands in extra production and make that operation more viable, and it can employ more people and be sustainable. And carbon is also used on the extraction of gold, in other words, to make it more efficient. So we came up with an instrument to measure the effectiveness of that carbon on the extraction of gold. And this method is a replacement to the toxic and expensive aerocyanide technology that is currently being used. And we think will assist the mining sector both here and abroad as well. And there's an internal award system that we are running. The researchers who did some work on this were awarded what we call the APEX Award, which is an internal award system that we are running to encourage more research work that will help the sector and South Africa. In terms of technology as well, as I indicated, His Lordship spoke about the issue of the water, the challenges that we are having. There's a significant challenges that we are dealing with in terms of what we call AMD, the acid mine drainage, mainly the mining districts. You'll experience that partly in the Klerksdorp area, Carltonville area, Mpumalanga, and so forth. So through the outcomes of our research work, we came up with technologies that will help in treating that water, not only of acid mine drainage, but also uranium. As you know, uranium is radioactive, and there is work that we've been doing with Sibanye Gold at Robinson Lake. It's indicated that with a photo at the top there, to try and remove the AMD and also uranium there. The advantage also, besides the environment and safety issues, is also that you can sell some of the uranium and to minimize the cost as well, because of as a result of this technology. Similarly, in terms of the coal, we've been working with the African Exploration, our own SOMCO, or the state mining company, to improve on the extraction of coal, mainly with the low-grade coal. And we've actually proved this technology that it works, especially for that coal that is being supplied to Eskom. We believe that if it can be an uptake of this, it will really improve the quality of coal that goes to Eskom as well. Underground processing, one of the biggest challenges that the mining sector has highlighted in terms of why they have to reduce labor is the issue of high cost. Because most of the mines, they extract their minerals from underground and they process on surface. So there is work that we are doing to try to help the mining sector on processing underground, especially with the gold and platinum. And we believe that will also reduce the cost element that goes with the exploiting of these two minerals. And that if that one is proven as well, we will also sustain the viability of the two sectors. Treatment of dams, I always say that if you drive around the major highways in Gauteng, you'll actually see these big dams wherever on the major highways, if you can see. Some of them are being exploited by their respective companies, but others are not being extracted because of the grade of the gold. The low grade, sometimes 0.1 grams per ton, so it's not viable to exploit those dams. However, as MinTech, there has been work that we've been doing in this space to try and assist and refine and make the recovery process more efficient. So we there has been work that we are doing with South Deep as well, and we believe that it will help in the extraction of uranium, not only uranium, sulfide as well, and gold. Sulfide is a mineral that also causes acid. In other words, if there's oxidation of sulfide, especially when it comes with water, then acid comes, including pyrite as well. Then you have this AMD that we have referred to. So we think that if this technology will help more of those dams to be processed and obviously deal with the health and safety and environment challenges that they've been facing. In terms of rehabilitation programs, we've been working together with the DMR and Council for Geoscience. We have prioritized old derelict and ownerless mines, mainly those that are a hazard or a risk to neighboring communities. With the ones that we've been working together on, the MinTech has been focusing on mainly towards it is the old asbestos mines and dams. The asbestos mines have been decommissioned about more than 20 years ago, but there are the old dams that are still posing a risk to their respective communities. So there's been a work that we've been doing together with the department and the CGS in this regard. Since the inception, we've rehabilitated about 31 sites, and we've assisted with 380 jobs that have been created. And currently, there's work that we're doing at Limpopo as well, and on asbestos as well. We believe that it will help with those challenges that I've referred to of health and safety and environment as well, especially for the communities. In conclusion, honorable members, colleagues, we will continue to build on existing improvements, reduce costs. I think it's very important, as the CFO has indicated, Mr. Smelane, that given the current global economic situation, it's important that we become vigilant on the issues of costs, and we are working tirelessly on that to attract customers through appropriate marketing. And I think for us, it's important also to make sure that the research that we produce, the technology that we produce, is attractive enough to the customers for them to have an uptake of those. I've indicated that there is indications of a possible upturn, especially from the third quarter of last year, and we believe there'll be, as a result, there'll be more projects that are coming our way. That And it's important for us to continue focusing on the downstream beneficiation, because we have to deal with the demand side of things moving into the future, and also encourage local beneficiation, because that way we'll improve also our current economic situation and job creation. We'll also continue to nurture and develop and support economically sustainable rural and marginalized communities through those programs that I've referred to. Some of them now, they are making a living out of the work that we have produced at MINTEC, including the training and skills development projects that we've been doing, working together with the Mining Qualification Authority. Honourable members, colleagues, that's us, MINTEC. Thank you for your attention. We'll take questions.
Power my sentence zazo. Ngabuyite there. Yabona umthelele yabona umbhema. Aba bebhema ungakazi ubhema uzoyazi le. Sa sadlula nje umbhema. Insizwe ikunike ikudlulisele. Yabo. Awuyicishi. Nikumbuyisele kube uyena ke ozomisa icishi. Hayi no, mina ngizama ukuchazela wena. Ngibona noSputla ngifike sezithathele iplatform la. Angamazi osizo. You see, if we board member ne, uchair engekho. Ungabofika ube board member, urepresent uchair, so uchair. Ngaleya sikhathi engekho. Ngaphandle kwala kuthina, thina lana tiluphoqelekile ukhethwe. Laphayani makuthiwa hamba nje ufike ushushu yena. Kodwa mnganami sizo wacishe wangiphoxa ngithembe kangaka. Hey, yambona umabuza ngimbona akasimayile. Uyasho ukuthi hhayi. Kodwa wawufikanga kuyena. Cishe wamfica. Yabona sengimane ngibuka nami la ngiyambona uma nengithi japhu ngehle ukuthi ngiyabona yini le nto bengiyivimba. Okay. Questions on MINTEC? Yeah, we liphethe kanye. Ungasayi drop. At 3-7.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Not done thorough justice to this presentation, because Chriselle over there in my office has been bossing me around, but you know, we have to adhere to their requests in terms of office obligations. But Chair, let me start with the vision of MINTEC. You know, we are fresh from a study tour in Australia, where we were exposed to a number of entities in Perth, particularly the Department of Mining, which will be equivalent to DMR here, and the manner it engages with various institutions over 130 years of capturing data in the sector. Now, your vision spells out that you seek to be a global leader in mineral and metallurgical innovation. So I'd like to understand, in terms of this vision, and in light of our study tours, what universities, institutions, and mining houses are you partnering with to become a global leader? So I'm trying to understand, in terms of you are working with University of Johannesburg or University of Stellenbosch or University of Free State, and maybe in there there is a mining school. I was surprised to go to Perth and find that there's actually a dedicated mining school. Do we have such in South Africa? And if so, are you in partnership with them? And how do you ensure that these entities are able to have best technologies? We went to some university there and we were showed a machine, and we are told this is the only machine in the world that does this specific assessment of rock, and it's sitting in a university, not in MinTech equivalent. So I'd like to understand as to what knowledge or technicality are you bringing to institutions, and vice versa, what are you in turn learning out of these institutions, if any, slide number 16, Honorable Chair. It says that we've trained 312 learners in small-scale mining. What exactly do we mean, training 312 learners? At what institution? I sit there in Mvezo, small, tiny precinct located on the banks of Mbashe River in the Mthatha district. And what I've noticed many a times, people come and talk about training programs and learnerships. They do a learnership program for 3 months, and they leave you with a piece of paper you can't utilize anywhere. Can't even get a job with that piece of paper. So I'm very sensitive to this issue of trained learners. Exactly what have you trained them in? And what can they be able to utilize that training on going forward? As on page number 20, Honorable Chair, Nelson Mandela Day, employees spent their 67 minutes with children of Bongani Community Development Center in Soweto, donated clothing, toys, and bed linen. I'd like to understand this before we render the kids of Soweto a charity case. You know, Grace Mugabe donated her priest to a community, and whilst the community was seeking jobs, not priests, they don't need underwear, second-hand underwear, they need jobs. Now, our founding father of this young democracy, President Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela, dedicated 67 years of his life serving humanity. And this has been a global call by the United Nations that July 18 be dedicated to honoring this giant by committing 67 minutes of our time to serving the communities we live in and ensuring we better the world we live in. I'd like to know exactly when you say employees spent their 67 minutes with the children, what did they do with those children? And what did those children do for 67 minutes? Or did they just be rendered charity case and they received toys? Is that what you understand by Nelson Mandela Day? Thank you.
No, thank you, Inkosi, for the questions. We do have partnerships not only locally but also globally regarding the work that we are doing, including in Australia, including in Australia as well in the mining space as well. As indicated, there are some work that have been doing locally, including it with Sibanye, South Deep, and the other respective companies. But I'll give my colleagues to expand on in that particular question. And I agree, Honourable Ngozi, that the current mining school are within three universities, and partly UNISA as well. They do mining engineering. There's mainly at VET, and also at UP, University of Pretoria, and University of Technology of Joburg as well. They partly do mining engineering and geology courses as well. On the slide that you touch on training of learners in Mpumalanga, I think it's a conversation that we have that we should not be training for the streets. We must try not to train for the streets, because it becomes a waste of money. The training is done through MINTEC itself, and mainly is to assist them to exploit the minerals that are around them, including clay, including the other dams that I've referred to, to make a living out of them. Some of the colleagues will further touch on that, on what type of training we do. And on slide 20, Ms. Kukul also touched on what we do in that regard, but I'd like to assure you that generally, on Nkosi, the work that we do, we strive to make sure that we add value through the programs that we are running during the fiscal period. We'll start with Gugu and Kamus Makapa on those responses.
Honorable members, thank you for the opportunity. I'm just going to address the question about the Nelson Mandela Day. We also are fully appreciative of the value attached to and the respect that is accorded to the Nelson Mandela Day. And so instead of MINTEC determining itself what it's going to do, we get requests from different centers. So in this particular one, there is one gentleman who is Bongani, who started this community development center, and it's him that then said to us, through our coordinators, that the type of assistance they require includes this and that and the other. So the stuff that we actually donate, the clothing, the toys, and the bed linen, are directly a request that came from him. But then second to that, how the group of employees that went there then spend their time, again, is determined by the center. So if the center, for example, says to us, which is what we normally do, let's spend time perhaps giving motivational talks with the kids, but also telling them about the possibilities of work and opportunities that they can get if they focus on education, specifically on engineering and the type of work that MINTEC does. So in essence, that's how the response came about. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair and honorable members. We are part of, we work with the universities. If you look in terms of the bursaries that we offer to students, it's mainly with, we have VETS School of Mining. So, and then we are part of SAMRI, which is mainly universities and mining houses and some SOEs that we focus more on training and supporting. And not only that, some of the members spend time at MINTEC sharing some of our facilities with them. Internationally as well, we are part of the EU Horizon 2020. And we lead most of the mineral processing projects. As we did last, when we presented earlier this year, we shared with you some of our projects that we are working with EU. And not only that, we are the leaders. Coming to Australia, there's one spin company called Blue IQ. It's as a result of some of their processing engineering that they're working on, which, will help Australians to be where they are. And I don't know whether they did share with you, Honorable Mandela, that most of the expertise in mining in Australia, the product of MINTEC. I'll give over to Alan to comment.
Thank you, honourable members. As far as our interactions with mining houses and institutions are concerned, I think I'd like to address that by looking at first our African interactions and then the global ones. Certainly as far as collaboration with Africa, we have a number of agreements. There's probably more than 10 of them with Central African Republic, Nigeria, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Zambia, DRC, etc. Those are some of them government-to-government agreements. Others are institutional agreements with MINTEC. So there's certainly more than 10 institutions that we are involved with on the African continent. In the rest of the world, we have collaboration and interaction agreements with our equivalents in Canada, Australia, in Europe, in South America. So most of the large mining regimes, we have institution-to-institution collaboration agreements where we work with them. When it gets to the mining houses, we really work with all of the top 15 to 20 global mining houses. And at any one time, we would be working on collaborative projects or feasibility studies with more than 10 of them. So there's really no large global mining house that we don't work with. In fact, over the years, we've picked up some additional activity as companies have wound down their own internal facilities. So we work a lot with the mining houses, and that's where the bulk of our commercial income comes from. Thank you.
Yeah. I'll conclude in relation to your question on 312 Dennis in small-scale mining in Mpumalanga. And what we do as MINTEC, we don't train, we also follow up. And one of the highlights of what we do is the project in Upington, and where we establish a center. Not only that, we help them sell their products because they don't have access to the market. And then this is work in line with MQA because our programs are created by MQA. Whatever they obtain, we can help them to further what they're working on and be able to sell their products internationally. I've just received an email from one of our products, Pasta Beauty, who is going to exhibit in Dubai, and she's supported by the DTI.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps maybe let me put the questions differently. None of the speakers have even attempted to answer my questions, Honorable Chair. You've held the event, Nelson Mandela Day event. You've gone to Bongani, you've given toys. The Nelson Mandela Day initiative is about committing 67 minutes of your time bettering society, communities, or even your neighbor. So in another platform I was speaking elsewhere, I say business cannot just sign a check, donate to Bongani, and say that I've done my 67 minutes initiative. You've mainly given money. You haven't done anything you in person. So I'm asking your employees at MINTEC, by going to the community center, what did they do together with those beneficiaries, other than giving them toys? If you didn't do anything, it's good to say, it's understandable. Perhaps then in the future you may consider that. But the question is, did you do what the United Nations call is about, that we should dedicate 67 minutes of our time doing good in communities we come from? So if yes, you have done that 67 minutes, you are painting, you are cleaning the community where you're from, and you are picking up papers for 67 minutes. You know, we once hosted the president, His Excellency President Zuma came to our village. For 67 minutes, we were picking up papers in the community. In light of keeping your cities clean, we were saying keeping your villages clean. So I want to gain an understanding as MINTEC. Do you understand the message of the day? It's not just about giving toys. You must be able to inspire those young people to also be able to do for themselves in their very own precinct. But again, let me move on, Honorable Chair, to the other question I posed in terms of the learners, 312 learners.
what are they qualified in today? If they are not going to your programs, can they come to Brown's Jewelry and get a job there? And on what are they qualified on to get a job at Brown's or any Szymanski for that matter, to get a job? What is their qualification? In terms of institutions, if you saying, for example, University of Pretoria, what technology have you imparted to University of Pretoria to say that we have this instrument that only MINTEC has? MINTEC is a leader. We've empowered Blue IQ in Australia. Now this equipment is sitting at this university. It does this and this and this. This is my questions that I'm asking, Honorable Chair. Not generic global question. Thank you.
Thank you, and also our apologies, Ngozi, for not meeting expectation on the responses. We'll just take a take on it, but we appreciate the spirit on the issues that you have raised, including on the 67 minutes day with, and things that we'll also look at. On the specific questions, we'll respond accordingly. Okay. Makapa.
I'll start with training. The training that we offer, it's an accredited training. So you train them in jewelry design and making, where they can beneficiate either whatever minerals they have. I think as the CEO has just shared with you in terms of the clay. So they can make pottery out of that clay and sell it. And we help them even to create their own designs, so they can create their own businesses. They don't have to be employed by anybody. I mean, I give an example of Pasta Beauty. We just completed the training now. We're still in the process of trying to help them to set up. So I gave you the Appington example because it was done in 2014. And it doesn't take 3 months to complete something and start to have sellable products. The Appington team came with a Kwesan design, and that's what they're selling all over the world. And Pastor Beauty has won awards in China. She's going to Dubai now. So that's what we're trying to build with the Mpumalanga team. We just completed. We're still, I mean, the jewelry training, it's up to NQF level 4. And post that, they can either continue to do a national diploma with any technicons, or they can even manufacture their own products that can be sellable. So this is something we just completed, and we are, I know in terms of jewelry, we are still continuing because it's up to NQF level 4. But in ceramics, they start to produce their own. But again, they're not yet perfect because you need to work on QA. We do their QA and QC as MINTEC and support. And once they have to a certain level of perfectness, then it's either we help them sell in terms of, I mean, one of the groups that we help them is just to create cooperative gifts for Delight. And that's how they generate income. So that's one example. The Mpumalanga team will give you feedback maybe a year or so from now. I don't think we can give you something in relation to that. And I'll leave some to my colleagues to comment on.
I think as far as the question of what specific pieces of equipment, et cetera, have we been involved in, more of MINTEC's impact is really with processes rather than specific pieces of equipment. And I think probably the biggest activity we have, where we're working with a number of universities, University of Cape Town, University of the Western Cape, Pretoria, WITS, is the Hydrogen South Africa process. So there, an example is that fuel cell assemblies were developed at MINTEC in collaboration with the University of the Western Cape and UCT, and then a spin-off company that was set up by the University of Cape Town is now beginning to commercialize the manufacture of those. That's a unique product globally. That is one example. We have a number of other process technologies where we're working with the universities of Stellenbosch on smelting, University of Cape Town on aspects of water treatment and crystallization to purify water, WITS University on some aspects of flotation and smelting as well. These are all processes, though, rather than specific pieces of equipment. Not a lot of MINTEC's business is specific pieces of equipment. It's small in comparison to processes. We have some examples of those internationally as well. with the Canadians, for instance, on the analysis of rare earths and how you measure them. So there's a whole range of these.
Thank you, honorable members. I'm hoping angizubhimba manje. I will try and explain this in a way that tries to clarify. We take note, honorable members, that the emphasis should be on the quality of time that we are spending as a contribution. And next time we go back, next year, same time, we'll do this differently. Perhaps for now, I think just for honorable members to understand that where we were coming from was that we didn't want to move away, again, without leaving something tangible. You know, we believe that us having been there physically present needed some kind of something tangible that can actually be left with the children, that they can remember us with, you know, the event with. So I do apologize if it comes down as if we're treating the day as an event. We will be mindful next time, and perhaps you can promise that next time when we report, we'll put emphasis where it matters. Thank you.
Chair, it's just a component. I was saying that the relationship we were exposed to in terms of the department and as well as institutions in the sense of universities, which also translates to the mining houses that have come to partner here. I'd like to therefore understand in terms of your processes, you've worked with these universities and you are producing results. Are these processes then filtering into the mining houses? Are there any mining houses that are then appreciative of this technology in terms of the processes that we are producing and are beginning to implement so that we can see the systems filtering through and there is a share of knowledge and a technique? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think that's the term we use for that is technology transfer to industry, and it's a big part of our mission statement, etc., that we try and do that. I think there's two very good examples that I would like to give of that. The first one is the refloat process, where we were looking at trying to clean up some of the old mining dumps around Johannesburg, and there we have already transferred that. And have been working with South Deep, which is a goldfields mine, and Sibanye. So the plant will be moving to a Sibanye mine because they see the value in what started as research and it's now got into industry. So that would be one example of it. There, again, are plenty more. We're working with Anglo-American Platinum at the moment, where we've done research on trying to improve the efficiency of their platinum extraction, and we've just completed a two-month pilot plant program with them where they're now very eager to implement this. So those are perhaps two examples. Again, there are a number more, but in the interest of time, I'll leave it at those two.
I think if I may, respectfully, honorable members, also, I think if also you look at slide 39, if we may, we've also listed on some of the work that we've been doing locally with the mining companies and globally as well. And we've also touched on the work that we've been doing together with Impala on fuel cells on slide 36. But we won't stop here. It's a matter that we'll continue doing. Thank you.
Okay. Let me say it this way. Don't stop doing something that is right. I think the question was not necessarily on the outreach exercise. That was, if we were to put it in crude terms, that was an act of goodwill. Now, the issue was that probably the shortest answer would have been no. We were asked to intervene on the activities of that day by making this contribution. We made the contribution, and what we put on the paper is what was a contribution on the Mandela Day, not our, the manner that you place it. It's like you planned an activity of a Mandela Day that was more like a contribution rather than an activity of your own that was in solidarity with the 67 minutes of the Mandela Day. That, so I don't want you tomorrow when you are invited to come and make a concert. No. We were told you must go and do things physically, so we can't come and make, no. I think we must be so relaxed. The point was that the manner that you placed it here, it was more like your Mandela Day activity and the role of the staff. Now, the problem, once you put it like that, it then changes the meaning and the interpretation of what the day is all about or the occasion. But this one is like, even if you were to go to a church and say, I know, nigela kakhulu namhlanje, bamba nako nginika khona, and then uhlale nabazalwane, it may not necessarily be wrong, but it's not, to them it might be correct what they were doing. But to you, if you are not going to the church to paint the church or whatever, do that thing, and say, no, I'll go to the church and pay 67 minutes praying, because they are praying, and then begum nigelom nin, may not necessarily be something that is in line with the interpretation. You see? But ukjabulising and so forth and so forth, it's not necessarily the same. So I don't want to move with this concern. No, we'll never again send the subject. Well, it was his activity also, that you, but it had its own connotation. So I don't want you to go to Parliament. Two, look, I sometimes, and I must say this thing with the greatest apology, you tell me, ne? By and across, I'm back on the board, ma'am. Just to deal on how do we structure reports and the intended outcomes. You know, again, in my previous life, I used to say, I'll never call a meeting when I don't know what should be the outcome of that meeting. Otherwise, you call a meeting and then you are voted out whilst you are chairing the meeting. So I used to prepare for the meeting to say, the outcome of this meeting might be this one. Now, sometimes I feel you, I didn't know. Sorry, Mabosa. Sorry, Mbonambi. And others. Madume. Please, Ningkone. But reality sometimes, by a sugarly public servants, you must be used to something. You just can't shift them easily. Because they are used, even though I don't want something that is bulky, but also not something that is so lean that it can't give sense. But sometimes I feel, you say, I'll be frank and honest with you, I was saying to Honorable Mandel, no, next time when I come here, I must look at what you wrote today. That is the longest document in Gizbegela. It's a deal. Ne? Utumukta looks with a year, Gele, or how I was Fundela, you know, this year. It makes your work much more easier because what you do, you on your first page, you just check, there is an overview which reflects our vision and mission, and we think you can be able to deal with the issue. Mainly the vision and the mission is about being a global leader, blah, 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 and then you continue. If you can't do that, it's difficult. You just put your notes on the side because members must have also a duty to read what you have prepared and gave to them. As long as the facts are there, it doesn't have to be. Sometimes I feel it's like someone wants to convince people, hey, look, we want to convince you. In that process, one thing that you do, you then deprive members
of understanding also their duty to assist you. So when you come out of this meeting, you must come up and say, "Ish, no, I didn't know this thing. Now I can see. Let me go and look at things. My thinking." For instance, let me give you exactly the same thing that Honorable Mandela just said. When you come out and said, "Oh, ish, I took for granted this 67 minutes. What does it mean? Now I understand what the 67 minutes mean." And when you put it, then you know that there is a reason you are placing it, because there is a certain objective you want to reflect on its importance. I'm just saying that thing. But generally, Mintech, my only word, I will say this to you now. I'm sorry to say it now, Babum Silva, because you are an acting president and the CEO. And you've got a new board. That's my main word. You will have to consider, not you, generally, CFO, at least you can carry this news. Consider, you see, when an entity performs this level, because the regulator had a little bit of a retreat, but I know they are going to come back. My only fear is that for how long will you sustain your performance? Because generally speaking, there's very little what one can say here. And the risk is that you may get used to this and find that time is much more ahead of you. And by the time you wake up, you are already behind. They say there is only one thing that a human being can do, is if he's lacking behind, is to improve. If can't improve, is to retain where he is. If you've reached a ceiling, a saturation stage, you just stay where you are. The worst thing with you when you are there is that you is to retain, but if there is any other movement, it can't be upwards, it goes down. That is the only sympathy we will have for you, that when you come here, the first thing I'm sure, by that time, because once the results don't go this way, no one will want to come through that door to tell us, how did you fail? So you get to find a way to get used, but also to look much better on how to do. My only advice is that from here, don't get excited. Everything that you do, those ladies we had yesterday must be your friends, so that you don't see them on the day when they come to check on you. What are you doing? That will be my advice. Regulate? Oh, no, man. CGS. Any questions? Hey, Shabona, but Tata Bongi, you want to move to CGS? Any questions, CGS? Honorable Mandela? Most of service members. Honorable Mande.
Thank you, Chair. Let me appreciate this presentation, Honorable Chair, made by Obama Booz on behalf of CGS. On slide number 9, Honorable Chair, they have a number of rural development projects which they completed. They had planned a target of 5, 2016-2017, and actually achieved 22 of these. If I may ask, Honorable Chair, where are these projects located? Can they give us further information regarding this? I'd like to understand their relationship with traditional leaders, and how many traditional councils benefited from these projects. Oh, yesterday I had an input that there was a school built, Slimela High School, It happens to be a school named after a cousin of mine, Nkosi Slimela Mtikag, was a Kuluku in Engoba district. So that is a traditional council. So I want to understand of these 22 projects, which ones are located in traditional councils under traditional leaders, so that we can see a real relationship between CGS and traditional leaders, Honorable Chair. On slide number 19, Honorable Chair, I speak of shale gas in the Karoo and deep drilling. His Excellency President Zuma has coined this as a game changer in his State of the Nation's address. I'd like to understand, therefore, Honorable Chair, how far are we in realizing this project? More than seeing reports that there might not be sufficient shale gas, I'd like to really understand, with the knowledge from CGS that they've acquired, just how soon will we realize this? Is it a 10-year plan? Is it a 20-year plan? Or is it another NDP-aligned 2030 vision thing? Slide number 23, Honorable Chair, talks to derelict and ownerless mines in South Africa. There's one thing that puzzles me there. Mine closure seems to have been assumed a responsibility by CGS. And I'd like to think that that role belongs to the mining companies, because as per the mining obligations would be that they have a responsibility, Honorable Chair, to rehabilitate that land, therefore ensuring that mine closure is realized through rehabilitation. Therefore, why is CGS spending time and even monies in mine closure or rehabilitation when that owner solemnly lies square amongst mining houses? Slide number 25, Honorable Chair, speaks to the CGS staff that are monitoring water levels. And again, in that, I'd like to understand what is the role of mining houses, or what are they contributing to the monitoring of water levels within their space of mining. May just see, Honorable Chair, elsewhere if I've scribbled anything. Seems that was the last, Chair. Should there be any that I seem to have skipped, I will. There we go. Slide number 51 talks to overall demographic profile by race. African 67%, colored 3%, Indian 2%, white 23%, foreign nationals 5%. Foreign nationals are equal to colored and Indian, Honorable Chair, and as a collective are still lower than white. I take real exception to that, Honorable Chair, and want to raise issue, or take issue rather, on that. But you know, very often you would hear particularly colored people in South Africa saying, in the past we were not white enough. In post-apartheid era, we are not black enough. And it illustrates to this honorable chair that they are totally sidelined and are not given the opportunities. I'd like to understand as to why do we see such a challenge in terms of ensuring that colored people and Indian people are empowered. Because I'm certain that in my little knowledge of the struggle for liberation, they played a pivotal role to ensure that we realize this freedom that we have today. Yet they are right at the bottom of the scale, way below our white counterparts, sitting at a 5% equal to foreign nationals. On slide number 55, Honorable Chair, again in terms of bursaries afforded by CGS, 61% goes to Africans, 10% colored, 10% Indian, a whopping 19% to white. You know, this reminds me of Animal Farm, which states in there that all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. Is this what this democratic dispensation has led us to be? I'd like to really request that CGS looks into this. Can that in this political dispensation that colors and Indians are continuously set aside and forgotten after the role they played during the struggle for liberation? I thank you.
Siyavala, Chair. Thank you. One question, Chair, relates to, what is this, slide number 18 talks about the percentage of scientific staff with MSc and PhD degrees, and the comment is that target not achieved. I just want to check with Mr. Mabuza, that is there any plan in place to headhunt some of these shortages of staff? The other one, Chair, Honorable Madiba has dealt with the issue, but on slide 23, they talk about closing of abandoned mine like the one in Boksburg. That how much is, or how much was budgeted for on the closure of this abandoned mine in Boksburg? The other one, Chair, is on slide 5-3. The small graph represents foreign nationals. So I want to check with Mr. Mabuza relates to these foreign nationals. which country of origin are they coming from, these foreign nationals? I think, Chair, that was my last one for now. Thank you very much.
No.
Thanks, Chair. No, it's not a question, Chair. I just wanted to request them, Chair, to comment on the question also that was asked by Honorable Mandela to Mentec, specifically on the partnership they have with the institutions for higher learning, given the research work they are doing. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, thank you very much for the question. I'll start with the relationship we have with traditional leaders. What we have done, honorable
Chair. Oh.
My apologies, Chair. What we have done as part of shifting our orientation that I reported earlier is we've created and we've seen a gap in our structure and have created a dedicated unit on stakeholder relations. And I have given them a specific mandate as part of implementing our new program that they must arrange for us as the CGS to go and reintroduce ourselves properly as the Council for Geoscience. And at the apex of our key stakeholders is the traditional leaders, is the farming community, is the institutions of higher learning, and so on and so forth. Because it is very important that we could easily do our work based on legislation, but we find that having better, clearly defined and delineated relationships with your key stakeholders is something that always, it makes your life a whole lot easier and it catapults your performance to greater heights. On the projects that were done for communities, I think my colleagues who have been with us for a long time will assist us. I'm not aware of any, but I'm sure they would have those. On shale gas, yes, Ngokeli, we're playing a contributory role, and ours is the science base to do the baseline studies, to contribute to the strategic environmental assessment program, so that, you know, when we do translate the apt coining of this project, indeed is corroborated by the science. And the deep drilling, we have budgeted 15 to 18 months from March of next year. So once we have finished with the deep drilling, then it's the interpretation of the data and so on. Some of it will do simultaneously with the drilling, but you do need to integrate that analysis into the bigger picture. So after that, a couple of months to finish that project. So in essence, we are looking at 2 to 3 years maximum for this project to be concluded on our part. the closure of derelict and ownerless mines. This is a term that does not exist in statutes, this derelict and ownerless mines. We found it running and within government, and we've been running with it. At CGS, what we have done is we've gone back and we're starting to look at the land ownership. Because before the current regulatory framework was introduced, the land owner also owned the mineral rights. So I honestly do not understand that we can't find land owners. And so where there is state ownership and or community ownership and mining took place, certainly we are prioritizing those sites. And we are putting through a proposal to our mother department, which we have already tabled technically, but we haven't at the executive level yet. So that, you know, the landowners who that 100 years ago when that mine was opened and so on should remain liable for making sure that the conditions of the ground are okay. And what arrangements they had with the mining companies is a different story. But we are not rehabilitating existing mines. The coining of these so-called derelict and ownerless mines had presumed that there was absence of owners. And so their state as orphans, as it were, then ended up in the hands of the department, and department had motivated for these to be rehabilitated because in many instances, they do pose a real risk to communities. And in fact, some of them, like the old gold mines that the President and CEO alluded to, contain much higher levels of radioactive material. An exposure of communities to radioactivity is a risk. And so it therefore becomes important that the state, some of the things we really try to deal with them as best as we can. But there's no reason why state funds can be used to rehabilitate private land and increase the value of private land, which is not necessarily in sync with the politics of South Africa and the direction that South Africa is working towards. On the issue of foreign nationals, I would also ask Mekola to assist. But I will say this: that at some stage, the foreign nationals with specialized skills were brought in to assist and train some of our younger geologists and transfer the skills to our younger geologists. And foreign national constitutes people who come outside of South Africa. We have Canadian. I know we had, at the time of reporting, you would have had a Russian. You have two Chinese. And Africans, so Kenyans, Cameroonians, a few Zimbabweans. So anybody whose origin is not from from South Africa, black and white, is included as part of our statistics on foreign nationals. And certainly we take a point that we have management instrument to use to deliberately change and invest in changing those demographics. If we continue to invest disproportionately in developing whites in South Africa, all we're doing is entrenching the status quo. We cannot exclude whites, but the proportionate investment is certainly something that we take that we've got to focus on it far more significantly. I think on the percentage of scientific staff, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, we must explain to you that it's an effect of change of definition. So in the previous reports, anybody who did not have a master's and above, an honors and above, we did not count them as scientists. And so they fell onto the support functions category. So we came in, we looked at this thing, and we said, but wait a minute. If someone has got a BSc degree in geology, surely they are scientists. They may be junior scientists, but they are scientists. So we then broadened the definition, and so that increased the pool against which we have been measuring those with masters and PhD. And that's why the committee, when it was doing its research, it was shocked by this significant drop in scientists. Because when you look at our vacancy rate and those people who have resigned, we have not had a mass exodus of scientists. And so the only rational explanation for that massive drop links back to what we believe is a proper definition of scientists. We think that as a science council, we must recognize all our scientists, but encourage them to do better. And we are investing 2% of our payroll, Honorable Matlala, to on skills development. And we actually have quite a substantial number of young black females and black including colored here in Cape Town. We have a young colored lady who's at the advanced stage of a PhD in petroleum geology with particular focus on the on shale gas, and she's being mentored on the Karoo formations and the extent to which it relates to shale gas development and petroleum geology broadly. So we are investing a lot in skills development from within the council as well as outside, but in the country. Of course, with the new structure and the new direction, we will be employing. We need to go out and get geologists who have been in the field and are ready. And so, yes, we will have a dedicated program and make sure that that program considers our development agenda correctly. On the partnership with institutions, I must concede that we have not had as ideal a relationship with our institutions of higher learning as we should. We have a dedicated effort towards rebuilding that relationship, because it makes absolute sense for us to have a relationship with our institutions of higher learning, and we're looking at supporting those. We have the one that I am particularly proud of, which has taken a bias towards what was called Bush Universities. We have a long-standing relationship with University of Venda. I have been invited to their science program, and I was very proud of the relationship that the CGS has indeed established with the University of Venda, and the number of particularly environmental geologists that come out of the University of Venda, and many of them find work in CGS, many of them are in the DMR and other places, and they're a direct result in part of the partnership that we have established. I think I have attempted to answer those that I can. I'll hand over to both CFO and Mekola to cover the other areas that I have missed.
Thank you.
Thank you, CEO. Honorable members and honorable chair, I think the CEO has already alluded to the fact that we have an opportunity with the rollout of our structure to actually change the profile, in particular looking at our colors and our Indians. So we're looking at that opportunity actually to improve our figures in that regard. We want to be actually robust as we actually place the adverts in the papers, to be specific as to the type of profile that we want to attract to the organization. And also when we look at the issues of MSCs and PhDs as well, we offer bursaries as well to our internal staff, so we want to increase that baseline, looking at that opportunity to do so as well. And as to the detail in terms of the countries of origin of our foreign nationals, I would like to perhaps say to the committee that we will actually provide we can provide a much detailed report on that by Friday as per the matching orders with the other state-owned entities. We'll do that so that you get a better picture of where the countries of origin are. We have about 17 foreign nationals currently in our employ, and we can provide the details to you on Friday. Thank you.
I guess the one question that's left is in terms of the project that we are involved with, the traditional rural development project. As much as I can recite the numbers, I know in general what areas we are involved in, such as the closure of mine holes that are in proximity of riskal areas. Also, we helping South Africa being a drought-stricken country, the water-scarce country. We assist a lot with we've got drill rigs that we assist to find water with, and those are some of the projects that come up off my head in general. I would rather we also provide a detailed list, because it's been audited and the work has been done on Friday together with the other information. So it's not a number that is just there. The work has been done, it's been audited, and the 22 days, just that we cannot offhand narrate the titles and exactly what the projects are about. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I want to answer a question that has not been asked, so that there's a bit of context and appreciation of the work that the entity is doing. I mean, we emphasize the point that every time when there's a project, there's a program, there must be an end state in mind. And that's a contribution to the democratic project and the realization of a transformed society. So I'm making that point because of the following. In the first place, we had asked the team that there must be greater effort to foreground the work of the CGS. I had said earlier that it's a strategic asset. Is going to contribute immensely in helping average people and also policy makers to have a scientific appreciation of some of the policy choices that you are likely going to make going forward. I mean, the issues, for an example, around the tinkering or the reconfiguration of the energy mix must be a function of science. So when we want renewable resources, migration towards gas, there must be an appreciation of what are the reserves that are there. Are we not going to contaminate underground water resources, this and that? So we are saying that perhaps there's a very little or no effort that is being made to explain some of these things so that they get to be surfaced and policymakers are able to make that choice. And you are able to rebut some of the claims that are made by pseudo science, that it pursues a particular objective, which is to undermine the democratic project. And then the second one is the issues around the MSCs and PhDs. Our view is that it must be an organic growth, and let me explain what I mean by organic growth. You see, there's an easier way of doing it. You can go outside and get people who already have those into the fold and then bolster the performance. Organic is that those that are already inside, make sure that you accelerate the pace at which they are able to achieve MSc and PhDs, in that you are contributing to the growth of the pool. Because if you get from outside, you are not growing the pool. You are simply appropriating what exists in the pool. And invariably it's going to be black because of historic reasons. And then Ms. Goller made the point that we just approved, I think it's in the last board meeting, a very generous bursary policy that will make it attractive for aspirants to join CGS and those that are inside to apply because it's that generous so that they can contribute to knowledge production and ultimately to that end state. And then on the issue of foreign nationals, I guess it's contextual the way you have answered it. In a bureaucratic sense, it's not just the numbers. I think it was going to be important to provide a historic perspective. The fact that there was no pool of immediately available black professionals. If they were there, it wasn't attractive to be in the public sector or a semi-public sector environment, because I think the market prices are much better somewhere else. And I think that's what led to going outside. I know others are from Eastern Europe and the like. But the point we're making is that there must be a deliberate effort to shadow those ones because they bring almost scarce skills. So shadow them with youngsters who are already in the system and then bolster those youngsters' chances of progressing academically going forward. And the last question, the last one I want to answer, might be a bit controversial, please. If I'm confusing issues, I'm very happy to come back. We had said that the effort to get the racial mix right must not be misinterpreted as an action to reject white people. So there's a national project we're pursuing, a non-racial society. But then we must be aggressive in attracting black Africans and colors. But it must not have unintended consequences. So obviously the spike is that we are bolstering Africans, Indian, colors, blacks to be part of this entity that is science-based, but at the same time don't undermine the national project. I mean, there's something that I'm not sure members, I don't think they've picked it up. I mean, there's a racial split of, I don't know what is the figure, 22 to 78 or to 32. So we are said, and then they say, when there's more and more black people, they say, no, we have overachieved, and say, no, it can be interpreted differently, because we still have a project of ensuring that white people feel that they are part of this country. Obviously, the effort is around growing the pool of scientists, Africans, black, at the risk of repeating myself. So I'm saying, when you achieve on the side of blacks, and then undermine that the equation or the scale on the whites, yes, we must have a different conversation. How do we make an effort to make sure that they also are part of this exercise? Like I said, I mean, that can trigger a different conversation. But I thought it's important that there's an appreciation that at the level of the board, we're contributing to the totality of the democratic project. It's just that we're confined to the science space and more specifically into geoscience. But they mustn't forget this at the back of their mind. It's about transforming about a prosperous society.
Yes, Baba, there's only one question that is not being answered by the CSG. The issue of whatever, Chair, you had in there.
Yes, that's what happened.
Yeah. But Chair, you allowed me to speak, no? So I don't have to allow Madiba and these other guys to speak. I'm on the floor here. Yeah, so if you allowed them to interrupt me. You see, the issue of the budget, Chair, I said, you see, there is one mine, unused mine, in Gauteng, Boksburg. They spoke about it. So and other mines that they spoke about it. I wanted to check as to whether, how much, because they are closing these mines, even though it's not in their terrain, but they are closing those mines. But now I want to find out as to how much was budgeted for, or how is it budgeted for.
in terms of closing these unused mines, in particular Gauteng. Thank you, Chair.
No, I think the significance of the this unfortunate incident of March and our inclusion of that picture in our presentation was really to demonstrate the risk of shafts that remain unclosed to society and to community, and the possible unintended consequences of inaction. So we have not closed that shaft as the CGS, as DMR. We could give you a report as well by Friday on the extent of our involvement, but it was not closing the shaft. The budget breakdown of those that we have closed in Gauteng, or the breakdown of all the provinces, of all the sites that we have closed, that information, we also have it, and we can package it and make it available to the committee. Thank you.
Okay. The difficulty that I have, let me start here. The difficulty that I have is that I need to carry many reports so that when I come here, I know which report I'm dealing with. We will have to see. You can send that information. The actual people who are owing us the information are those ones, CFO, on the closure of mine and the cost implication and average, the numbers and so forth. So what you can do, you collect that information and send it to her so that she can pile up on what is doing. The second thing, I think, yes, it's true. It's more of a theoretic engagement on how do we understand or have a perspective on the question of transformation, because it depends from which premise that we come from, but we'll deal with that issue. But for now, the fact of the matter is that we are trying to redress what has been created as an imbalance. If it happens that imbalance to juxtapose and be on the other side, what we have seen, and I will show you Mabuz, even on your slide. But my first issue that I had is that it might have been nice to see in your which page is that one? There is a page where you make reference on, which was a bit shocking now. I had always treated you as people of high standards. I don't know whether I read wrongly. You seem to be quite strong in terms of your balancing when it comes to issues of demographics. But I don't know what is it that is so difficult when it comes to on gender. Your page suppose 18, ne? Employment equity stats above, planned target, it was 32.6. Achieved 24.76. Well, to meet the target, it's fine. So it's for you. I'm not contesting you there. Now, employment equity, gender. Yes, no. Yes, on gender, in fact, you did very well. But if you look on the gap, it seems, because this thing is, there's a scientist that can, that knows a crack on earth. The movement seems to be, and I'm not saying it's wrong, please understand me, but it seems to be a little bit slowly by percentage. You know why I'm raising this thing? I'll be frank and honest with you. It might be easy to deal with gender, depending also if I were to say, on that gender, can you give me a breakdown on the demographics on females? Now, you may find that once you put females together, that's why you can be able to match. I'm just, that's why I'm saying it's an example. That's why. So for me, I'm looking at 32.24.76. Yes, you've met the target, but the gap. So that your focus was on the others. Well, sometimes you may have this thing of being ashamed. Your focus was is on addressing employment equity, which is correct. I'm not saying it's wrong, but there'll be too much effort to an extent when that thing drops. Now we have not met the target. It's on the basis that what you have below suggests that you have met the target. So it would have been nice. But also for me, it's not that just that. Then look at the strategic location. Ukhona umama kuphela la kimi one umbona mbene uthe uma simbuzo kushuthi i-crisis yomama if we're to no let's be honest now if all of them were to expect ukuthi sekufike lesa sikhathi kushuthi nina baketula isisi because kushuthi bonke ngebe ngekho la if they happen to expect at the same time so all of you would have brought a delegation of men. You see? And I don't know whether it's coincidental that sometimes they fall with my brother and go HR. You know, it's like now some of our own organization, Makfunu Treasure, go funu mam. Go zumbo no style, or you no pala, or Mundo Sfazan. While you go funegulogoza. Treasure. The best position I occupy uba u deputy, would particularly secretary. You see? At least the department tells me figure. So this is one thing. Can you, CFO, take a duty and a responsibility to mentor your entities on how to do what you have done? Maybe banai problem. I'm not saying someone must retire or must expand. I'm taking from what they said. That's why I raised the point to say, when we deal with transformation, it will depend from each from which angle we are coming from. I must say this by observation. If we are not careful, all of you as entities, sizogcina CEO bengamadodoti. Yebo, I'm not. But that's why it's bad when I wear the ekhaya. Manje abanye bafike, abanye laba hlakaniphile bafike sebenze endosile ukwenza ukuthi makufika le process bazazi ukuthi no sebe safe sebe welile umfulu Jordan. No, I don't know. I'm not demotive. I'm just saying. Now, we have to find a way so that does not become a reflection. I must be honest. Now, that's why I'm saying I would have loved Mabuza, not in a bad note. Can we get a breakdown even of this gender of your senior executives? Seaborn. Two. Hey, angiyazi ke nizongithini la. I don't have masters. That's far from having a PhD. Why don't we go and check what is academically defined as a scientist. So that not each one will decide that a scientist is a twat. Now, let me tell you why I'm saying this. You are a very high esteemed research institution. And once what you define certain areas of yours, you may even be seen to have lowered your standard and therefore being unreliable on what you are supplying. Because someone who would be called a scientist, to me, is someone who has got all the necessary required qualifications in that specialized field, not someone who is growing. Whether now when we say junior or senior, I'm just saying for your own sake, because once you do that, the possibility, hey, you know those people, you say, but even a scientist, only the highest, the number up, just by ratio, for an example, even if you, for me, I'm not married to the sentiment, whether it's scientist or not, but the problem is that once you increase your pool to an extent that by level of expertise, those that you wanted to open up the pool becomes more than those that would say they are supposed to be specialized service. Let me give an example. If you had to have four PhDs and then seven masters, ne? And then you've got 20 who are there, then it actually, I'm just making a hypothesis, then it actually means what defines you is not what you have up, is what you have at the bottom that you regard as a specialized service. So I'm saying for your own sake, even if you were to go and ask for money or whatever, partnership, people might look at what is it that you define at that particular level. Because generally, where we have said scientists, at least I've sat in a board that talked about scientists, it has always been at the level of masters going up. That's how, at that point, we defined it. I agree on the point, which we can't deny, on the point of upward mobility. I don't think we should say, how do you massively meet these high standards? You see, when someone said, certificate, over to a pass mark, 32, standards, so that we can pass a normal one. Now, I'm just saying, because we can't run away that we are in even the industry that will be highly dependent, especially what Mr. Ramkhopo was saying. In an industry like that one, if you then interact with these industries, they must have confidence that what you have as a base. Yes, I would have said, instead of treating people as scientists at an entry point level, is the program that we should start to lift, to talk more on, and say we give them this to build confidence so that they can upgrade. So in the process, you don't give them in such a way, and I don't know whether you get me, you don't give them in such a way that it's a title that they don't deserve. You give them, for instance, if they have enrolled, you give them so that if at a specific moment this person has not achieved it, then it means it's falling off of what you would have recognized. And I think the model is up to you. But once you mix those things together, the best thing that can help you now is to say, okay, what I was just saying, can you say someone, yes, everyone can be a lawyer, but is that what we talk about? Can an attorney be an advocate? You see? So unfortunately, in that field, you don't have different, what do you call this thing? Different titles. You've got one. But the fact of the matter, when someone is said is a scientist, it's someone that will understand that is in a, has got this high level of a specialized skill, not a qualification. But I'm just leaving it to you to look at this. I'm raising this thing again because in your target, and this thing is going to cost you, ne? Ngiyaphinda lento. Scientists zakho abantu abane PhD ne MSc, the target yakho was 50%, and we are issue now the target has not been achieved. It's 28.5, but standard zakho is very high, it's 88%. You
Now the question will arise, you achieved when you've got, because your core function is science, but your target of is now so high at 88 with less, you see that interpretation I was bringing then on top, with less than 50% of your scientists, which was a correct, otherwise the other one would have said, by the way, your target of those people should have been at the level of 60 or 70, because that is a specialized service. Again, in that life I used to live on, there was a fight, I can tell you now. There was a fight between a union called the National Union of Mine Workers. I won't say who was the SG now, who was the GS then. And the South African Democratic Teachers Union. I won't say who was the GS then also, because now Mhloni Shomkhulu, Piti Mnyaa. Now, they used to have a fight on a simple, and a very simple but complex matter. They had increased the membership on NUM, had a huge membership. But a problem, it's like what you have now, another affiliated to that federation. So you can't be in the Democratic, those days you couldn't be in the Democratic Teachers Union if you don't have a qualification of a teacher. So the baseline financially by revenue was very high, but the numbers were very low. Now in NUM, the numbers were very big, but the revenue base was very low because of the average payment, whereas when you put in construction workers. Now, what then defined NUM, it was defined according to the low standards because of construction workers and so forth. So the debate was that, why are you calculating this thing on the basis of numbers? Because the teachers will not earn, probably what is could be the worst for the teachers could be the best and the highest for mine workers. Now, the point I'm saying is that once your system has got this level, you should then look at, I'm making an example again, whether even if you have not met the target, what is it, I think the point that Ramakwepa was raising, what is it that we need to do deliberately so that our justification of being a science institution can get that recognition. It will even assist you when you say, for an example, I've got this level, then surely you can't retain those people if you don't get enough cash. You see? So it also helps you. So when you go there and motivate, you say, no, but I'm employing so much people with master's degrees, so much people, but you think these people can survive on what you are giving us to retain. So your standards yourself as high to an extent that they demand that you must be rewarded. The only thing is that, yes, I agree with you. You then, once you do so, I'm telling you now, go and develop a retention strategy. Because so even there, we might come back and say, in whatever you do, please, can you tell us what then is going to be your retention strategy? Then one issue that I thought I must also raise. No, I don't have a problem. And please, you have not answered this question. I think you are resisting. You are carrying a very sensitive, potent information at your disposal. Please, don't lend this state security. But what measures do you do to vetting? Simple and straightforward. Because this information that you are carrying, surely is at some stage is going to be highly sensitive information. What do you do, especially with people who occupy strategic positions? Whereas if, and this has got nothing to do, it's not xenophobic, it's not Afrophobic, it's nothing. What is it that you do that guarantees? Because you can't take away the fact that if I'm from the East, we will sit here, and I'm saying this thing with, it's not an allegation, but you tell me if I was Australian, and I know there are mines in Australia, there are people who have got finances, you are busy there, they are processing applications, I'm the one who is carrying information. Why wouldn't I be able to share, hey, come here, there is a lot here, that you, I'm just making a hypothetical, silly, obviously risky example. But the information that you have, custodianship of this mineral wealth beneath the soil is in your hands. If you have not done that, please, my advice is that consider doing that, so that whoever has, you've got what you would call intellectual property, whatever it is that you have, you ownership, and the fact that no one can use that information willy-nilly. I don't know, that question has never been answered. How do you keep that information that is so sensitive in that way? You can answer this question because I'm not asking it in a different way. Who is doing exploration or whatever drilling for, or are you, because there's this issue that sometimes is going to twist our mind. One minute there is drilling for shale gas. One minute there is a discovery and the need for uranium. But all these things are almost in the same close proximity. Which is which and which comes first? Or your focus is only on shale gas? I'm saying, I'm asking it because you came to present, you see, the game changer. See, we have been talking about this shale gas. I thought by now, I was told the guys who have even decided to go and build hotels closer to these areas and build houses. I'm sure But on a serious note, is there no potential conflict between these two interests that the country is looking up to? Because then the last thing, I think I've addressed some of those issues. But the rest I was just saying, as you continue to develop, one thing you can't run away, and I like the intervention that you made, one thing you can't run away from is that as you continue to try to do things better, is the more you will discover that there are more other things that needs to be, find some levels and elements of innovations. So I'm just raising these things to say, in that line of what you do, I think you must make these particular considerations I've made. You can take if you want to have a take.
thank you, Chair. So I think, shall we start with the issue of demography on slide 18? And I think, Chair, the way I would like to request you to read the numbers, to see them as a ratio. So they add up to 100. So the first one is white to blacks, which means our target was 32% of whites.
Yes.
And we ended up with 24, so which is substantially lower. And with women, the next one down, we were targeting 44% women, and we ended up at 46%. So we are growing, we are moving in the right trajectory. I think it's perhaps it's that ratio thing, it's not so much the decimal. And so when you read it as a ratio, it provides
you're
a slightly different context.
Women, when it was it not 56?
No,
or
it's,
44,
ma- it's
44,
male
44,
to female.
44, oh, okay.
Yeah,
44,
so it was 44 target,
yes.
But in reality we achieved 46%.
Okay.
So we are working closer to 50, and I think this one will be achieved in my lifetime. and I on an issue of women and the role that they play in critical positions, Chair, with our new structure right now, while we are implementing it, we have appointed quite a number of young people into this critical post, and we have, I was just writing down the names of the ladies that we have appointed who are driving the strategy that we have presented to you
Ms. Refilwe Shelembe is she's working towards a PhD. She's heading the geoscience mapping program. Dr. Hayley Cothro, who's based here, young lady in the early 30s as well. She's acting in the offshore, the Blue Economy program. We have Ms. Leshomo, who's heading the geohazards program, which includes hydrology. We have in the strategy unit of the office of the CEO, Ms. Valerie Ngumalo, who's also at the tail end of a PhD. I think what his worship was presenting, that our primary focus is on organic growth, because we have a lot of young, very talented, committed and inspired scientists. We will go and look at the statistics, but our argument is we don't want to come to you and present 100% of performance with a clean audit. That is not a realistic performance of the challenges that are facing the nation. So for me, I see this as a nice challenge, because our target has to be at 75% of those masters, and in fact, even drop off the masters and say, because we are science council, we want to have 70% PhDs in geosciences. But the reality is we are working from a low base of 28%. We can create an impression that we are at 60%, and people would think, yeah, you have all these great, and misclassify people who have studied the science and put them in support functions. So I think let's paint the problem and deal with it and bite the bullet and say, indeed, we have a problem here, and we will deal with that problem going forward. I think on the sensitivity of the information, I just had to confer with His Worship. We have already started exploring a process of declaring the CGS as a national key point. We have engaged with relevant authorities, and we are moving with speed. We have the support of the ministry, because we have recognized that risk. And obviously coming with the national key point classification means that we will obtain priority in dealing with some of these very complex issues of prioritizing, vetting, and how we operate with the other technocrats who are not of origin of the land. There's no reason, Excellency, why, Honorable Chair, why development of shale gas and uranium cannot coexist in the same area. There's absolutely no reason. Shale gas occurs at depths of 2.5, 3 kilometers, and uranium and other minerals, you generally find them at very shallow depths. And this doesn't have to happen everywhere in the Karoo. So the information will then assist us in prioritizing, you know, the core development, if, depending on which energy policy mix, based on the options and the scientific evidence that we have presented, that we take going forward. Ours is to present the information so that you can take those policy options going forward. Others I take as points of guidance to us that we really highly appreciate, and we will process going back. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'm going to go to the hospital.
might have to do this in those who promised us to give the information by Friday, let it be here by Friday, because when we adopt the report, we will need that information to be present as a reflection.
Thank you.